Our gospel lesson this morning is the gospel reading for this, the first Sunday of Advent. It's from Luke's gospel, the 21st chapter, verses 25 through 36. As I read these ancient words, listen for something that's being spoken into your life and into your heart anew this day. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hope candle. We just lit the hope candle. Again. Every year we light the hope candle as we inaugurate the season of Advent. So the question is, once again, for what are you hoping this year? For what are you hoping in your life? In the 6th century BC, the prophet Jeremiah wrote these words, "The days are surely coming." Friends, can you feel those days coming? Can you feel the change that is in the air, a change indicated by the changing landscape all around us, in this room, along the streets of our town, in the mall, everywhere? The days are surely coming. Today's the first Sunday of Advent, right? Adventus, something is coming. 3 weeks from Friday is Christmas. Thank you, Christmas Day. Christmas is coming. So for what are you hoping this Christmas? For what are you hoping? Did you know that Christmas is a religious holiday? Did you know that? Come on. No, I bet you knew that. But did you know that the whole season of Advent is a holy season? A sacred time? I mean, listen to this. I read this yesterday. News story. If it's worth waking up for at 3 a.m., it's apparently also worth waking up for 3 a.m. and then punching someone in the face. Friends, these are opening words to an article in yesterday's news. They continue, "Welcome to Black Friday, the annual tradition where bargain-crazed shoppers gather and reenact scenes from The Lord of the Flies." Newsflash, at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, there was a chaotic scene as a scrum of shoppers scuffled over discounted flat-screen TVs. In Springfield, Virginia, a college student waiting in line at a Best Buy said that he was attacked by a woman who tried to save a spot at the front of the line by leaving a chair there and then returning hours later. She was angry, and I was telling her, "No, you're not getting in the front of the line. I've been here since 12. And she proceeds to attack me with the chair, pushing into my friend, knocking me over, and twisting my ankle." Good stuff. Good stuff. Allow me to remind you of some of the indicting words of Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch. "Observers should be able to encounter Jesus in and through the life and community of his followers. People observing us ought to be able to discern the elements of Jesus' way in our ways. If they cannot find authentic signals of the historical Jesus through the life of his people, then as far as we're concerned, they have the full right to question our legitimacy. Huh. Huh. Not to be outdone, shoppers at the Alexandria Mall in Alexandria, Louisiana, were treated to the sound of gunfire Thursday night after a fight in the mall parking lot escalated. Huh. Are you hopeful? For what are you hoping? The days are surely coming. In the prologue to his gospel, John writes these mysterious words, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us." The Word became flesh and lived among us. The language is marvelous. The Greek word translated word in this passage is the word logos. You've heard that. Logos means word, but it also means mind and reason. You remember how John begins his gospel? In the beginning. Very good. Sound familiar? Think back. Think back to the very beginning of the tradition, to Genesis. In the beginning. Great. Now jump back to John. In the beginning was the Word. Now back to Genesis and the magnificent creation epic found there. How does God create? With words. Logoi. Words. Back to John. John suggests to his readers that this same word, this same mind, this same creative source that called and continues to call life out of lifelessness was enfleshed, was made real, was made tangible in one called Jesus. In other words, when folks encountered Jesus of Nazareth, they felt as if they were in the presence of that which grounded their life, that held their life together, that gave renewed sense of hope to their life. For what are you hoping this year? Last week when we met, Thanksgiving was in sight. Today, Thanksgiving is in the rear view, and we're heading toward Christmas. 3 weeks. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do this year to prepare for the celebration of Christmas? What are you going to do with your Advent season, your season of hope? In his book on the life of the church entitled Seasons of Celebration, contemplative Thomas Merton writes this about Advent. He says, "Advent is a sacrament of the presence of God. I never tire of those words. How awesome is that? Advent is the sacrament of the presence of God." In other words, Advent is a sacred season during which we live in such a way that God's made real in and through our lives, incarnated in our lives. And that makes sense, doesn't it? After all, Advent is a spiritual practice that ultimately ends with the celebration of Emmanuel, which means God is with us. If God is with us, shouldn't be God be made manifest? Sure, that's profound stuff. That's life-giving stuff. That's life-altering stuff. Advent is a season during which we live in such a manner that our lives are prepared for transformation. Advent is a season of active engagement. Again, this year, my Advent challenge is this. Let's stop kidding ourselves that the birth of Jesus of Nazareth justifies our current holiday practices. Let's just admit it. Say it. We can call our late November through mid-December practice anything we want to. But let's just not call it Advent and Christmas. Just don't call it that. We can give it a specific day. We can give it a whole season. We can even move the season. Move it to late summer. Less going on. Early fall. We can wrap stuff up. We can spend till we're deep in debt. But let's make a deal that we won't read Luke chapter 2 while we're doing it. The birth of Jesus. Sounds fair enough. Yesterday, I flipped through the channels, and I came across a remarkable program. It was a revival. Have you ever been to a revival? Have you ever seen one? You know what I'm talking about? Good. Anyway, I was watching this, and I was just amazed by this stuff. The place was packed. I mean, just brimming. Oh, my gosh. There was music thumping, and there were crowds singing. There was clapping. There was arms waving, there was shouting, there was laughter, there was tears. And the camera panned around the crowd, and you could see it in everybody's face. They were transfixed by the experience. They couldn't get enough of their hands, were extended in acclamation. The whole crowd moved in unison as if they had been choreographed. Intensity was the order of that day, and you didn't have to watch long to understand that these folks weren't just watching. They weren't just watching this revival. No, they were participating in it because maybe, just maybe, this experience was going to change their life. I didn't know exactly what to make of it until the camera fixed in on one person. Just was right on them. And I couldn't really tell what was going on in their life and in their heart, but I just was transfixed by this. And it wasn't until the camera pulled out a little bit that I realized what was going on. On the front of her light blue shirt was scrawled these letters. As in United Methodist Church, but UNC. The stadium was packed. The revival was in full gear. Oh my gosh, their hands were going wild. It was amazing. I kept wondering, how do they do that? I want to do that. How is such devotion commanded? I have a very basic question for your consideration this morning as we move into the season of Advent and beyond to Christmas. Are Advent and Christmas commemorative or participatory? We always talk about that. Think about it. Are we commemorating or are we participating in it? You've been asked, do you observe Christmas? When you observe something, what is it implying? You're on the outside looking in. It's a great question. Are you an observer of Christmas or participant in Christmas? When they zoomed in on this young woman at the game yesterday, she wasn't just observing the game. There's no way. She was most definitely participating in it. Throwing stuff, saying bad words. Well, I won't get into that. Are we commemorating incarnation or participating in incarnation? There's a big difference. Observation rarely changes your life, but participation frequently does. As Jesus walked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew. Follow me! And you know what they did? They followed. They didn't just watch him. They followed him. Okay, I want to go back to something that we shared years ago with the Advent Conspiracy folks. If you weren't here or you don't know about that group, go to YouTube, look up Advent Conspiracy. They put it this way. This whole effort to change our Advent and Christmas practice is not about anger, disgust, or guilt. It is about entering the story of Jesus more deeply with a desire to worship more fully. It's not enough to say no to the way Christmas is celebrated by many. We need to say yes to a different way of celebrating. So what are we going to do? We can't just keep on keeping on. Every year I read this, and I read it again this year. They've extended the holiday shopping season. I mean, I don't know how they do that. It's eventually going to lap back on itself. Extended the season. That was incredibly sad to me because we seem to have lost a sense of the holy. It's just gone. But we got to do something about that because the days are surely coming. Well, I tell you what we should do. We should practice. We should practice incarnation. We should practice it. And that means we should use this season of incarnation to incarnate Christ in and through our lives. We should make Christ's presence real. Through our hands and through our words and through our lives. It may be too much to say a whole season. Maybe we should try one day over the next 3.5 weeks. One day to incarnate Christ. And be mindful of that, that God's Spirit is moving through you and everything you say and everything you do that whole day. I know that would be more than I've done in a long time. Maybe an hour. That might be a good place to start. Because I truly believe that by practicing incarnation, we're touched by the sacred. And when you're touched by the sacred, it changes you. It changes you. It can't help but change you. Advent is the sacrament of the presence of God. So I invite you during the next 3.5 weeks to take a break from the chaos that normally surrounds the season and indulge yourself in the sacrament of Advent. The days are surely coming. Are you ready for this? Of course you're not. We're never ready. Our Advent headlines shouldn't have to include words like frenzy or fight or profanity or spitting or stampeding. It can be very disheartening reading these stories. Not surprising, but disheartening. Because I suspect that 3.5 weeks from now, these people in these stories will be celebrating the birth of Jesus and the mystery we call Emmanuel. I would suspect that. Business as usual is a bankrupt policy of spirituality. Friends, I don't want to squander another Advent. This year I want to participate in the sacrament of the presence of God. I invite you to join me in this hopeful practice. Because when you see these things taking place, then you know that the kingdom of God is near. Thanks be to God. Amen.